So what aspects of Australian history, when you were writing these books, did you find that you think get whitewashed or ignored or not, not even told enough? Are there certain stories that just got forgotten that are better than the ones we do know?
Well, certainly, Aboriginal history had been not only neglected but whitewashed out of the way that history was taught until really, I think, after the Bicentenary in 1988. Certainly when I went through school in the 70s and 80s, there was no real acknowledgement of Aboriginal people at all, other than a sort of passive people who got rolled over when the continent was settled by Britain.
Why do you think that was?
I think part of the great... During the late 19th and early 20th century, there was a vast sort of nationalist approach to Australian history where we venerated the sort of outback men who expanded the frontier, and they were the heroes, you know, your boundary riders, your drovers, your shearers, your horsemen, your explorers.
Many of whom were Aboriginal.
Many of whom were Aboriginal, and the idea that these people who, conferred vast riches upon the Australian people and opened up the continent for wheat and beef and gold and all of those things that made Australia at the turn of the 20th century the richest country in the world on a per capita basis. The idea that these frontiersmen had considerable blood on their hands was not a popular one. And so many of the stories were buried. Many of them weren't told in the first place because certainly with the native police in Queensland, where some of the worst frontier violence occurred, there was a deliberate policy of silence and of not keeping records. And those few records that were kept mysteriously disappeared.
Do you want to explain, too, what the native police were?
Yeah, the native police were actually groups of Aboriginal frontiersmen who were shipped up from the south. With each group of policemen led by a white officer, and their job was effectively to, in inverted commas, disperse Aboriginal people from areas that were being settled, and that dispersal often involved basically shooting up the locals. And so we have this notion of Aboriginal people today as being sort of one common group of people. Of course, that's not the case. You've got a couple of hundred different languages, you've got hundreds of tribes, and so the Aboriginal people from down in southern New South Wales and northern Victoria had no real feelings of kinship for the people they were displacing. And so you've probably got over 30,000 Aboriginal people killed in the Queensland Northern Territory frontiers, often at the hands of Aboriginal dispersal squads controlled, directed by white officers.
Because that sounds like, when I was reading that in Aboriginal Australians, that seemed like a massive uncomfortable truth that doesn't seem to be spoken about. Obviously at the hands of us as well, but it's weird, and I kind of get annoyed when people say, because I'm teaching English, people are quite often like, talk about the Aboriginal accent. And it's like, but that's like saying the European accent, right, in English. Yeah. It's kind of like there are so many different groups and they weren't necessarily on good terms with one another.
So no, not at all.
Was it like that throughout the continent when we got here too, that there was a lot of conflict and that was used to kind of help chaos?
Before we arrived, the conflict was very local. You had Aboriginal groups who would have a set pattern of migration where they would take in different resources at different times of the year. They were mostly, a highly nomadic people. And so you would have clashes between different groups of Aboriginal people over resources, over women, over various other things. But it was local, and there were ways of resolving those disputes, which allowed everybody to get on to the extent that they weren't wiping each other out.